Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the NBA Prospect Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your gracious and humble host, Rob Bruin, with my good guy, T. Rose. We are back. Happy New Year to everybody. New Year's, new things. We're hoping that everybody is being more consistent and getting to the grind. T. Rose, tell me how you feeling in 2020 month, man. I like the waves today. I see what you're doing.
You feel me?
Yeah.
You know, I need a little cut. I need a cut. I'm going to have to hit my cousin Jeremy up soon. Don't trip. But I'm feeling good, man. We made it through 2020, the crazy year that it was. Everything that you went through, everything I've been through, everything the world has been through. So it's a blessing, man, for us to be here, for us to be standing strong and make it another year with the pod, another year with my brother. So I'm ready to do this, man. Ready to start it off right. You feel me? First pod of the year. Let's get to it.
In the state of Indiana, they'll be hosting the NCAA tournament. Chef Curry drops 62 points on the Blazers. Ryan Garcia shows us some tenacity, bounces back, and knocks out Luke Campbell. And we have so many trending topics for you. So, Troy, let's start here. The NCAA, like I said, will be in Indiana. They'll be hosting all 68 teams. It's going to be the same format, one game elimination. The goal is for every game to be played. They don't want any players to contract, you know, COVID-19. The tournament is supposed to start on March 16th. And, you know, just some more insight, there'll be six sites, the NFL stadiums, NBA arenas, and four college teams that will be helping as well to host all of the games. Now, the tournament is supposed to start March 16th. And on April 3rd and the 5th, we're looking at the tentative dates for the Final Four. How do you feel about this entire movement? And do you think that the NCAA will be able to pull this off?
I think that they will. This is going to be the largest bubble-like scenario we've seen play out in sports since the pandemic has hit. So obviously, it's going to be a challenge. When you're talking about 68 teams, all those players, the hundreds of players, the hundreds of coaches. So obviously, it's going to be tough. But I think with the NCAA, as you know, like they're about their money. So if any way that they can get things going and figure it out, then they're going to try to do that. Obviously, it's going to be spread out through, I think, three different cities between Indianapolis, Bloomington, and West Lafayette. So it's going to be spaced out. But again, we're going to have to make sure that the players are also following protocol, proper personnel are doing the things that they need to do, all the testing. I think it's going to be exciting. I'm eager to see March Madness. Obviously, this is completely different circumstance, but players are hungry. As fans, we're hungry to watch. So hopefully everything goes as it's supposed to. Everyone stays safe and we get to see some good basketball.
Yeah, I think this is going to be real good because I remember last year when I was in Greensboro back in March, how quickly the ACC conference shifted. That got canceled and that NCAA tournament followed suit, right? So I think that now with the bubble being a blueprint for everyone else to follow, I think it's going to be great. And I just, you know, pray and hope that all of the players follow the protocol, do what they need to do so that they can, you know, get to the NCAA tournament. We can get a winner, you know, see who's going to be crowned and just everybody do what they need to do. And this is going to be good so that we can see what we can do in the future following from now. So I think that this is a great thing for all of the teams. And we just want to continue to see basketball, man. We've been really wanting to see this for a while, so it's going to be great for everybody as a whole. And just so everybody will know as well, the NCAA is still, they're not sure if fans will be allowed to be in the arenas, but the family members of the student athletes will be accommodated as well too. So we just want to keep that in perspective. That's key.
I think that's the best thing, you know. Yeah. I think with fans right now, that'll be a bit much. I think, you know, we need to follow the same protocol we kind of seen with the NBA, allow them to have their friends, their family, their loved ones, you know, their family. And I think that's going to be important. Yeah, no fans.
With all of the play that's happened, you know, throughout this week, are there any players, any teams that have stood out to you?
I can't lie, man. And it's
really... Go ahead, say it, because I know it's going to hurt you.
It's really going to hurt me to say this, But I have to give the University of Michigan their props, man. Like, I have to. And after watching my squad, Michigan State, lose three straight games, had to look down the road. And I've been looking at Michigan, and they're 9-0. They came into the season unranked. The way that they're playing at a high level, Hunter Dickinson gets the freshman of the week, averaging 19 points since becoming a starter. Juwan Howard has the number one class coming into next year. So for them to be playing this well, being 9-0, playing this strong, and this is not even the number one class, I mean, you can't help but give Juwan and that team their props.
Your boy, Caleb Houston, I believe, he committed, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so yeah, that's going to be real good. Yeah, huge shout out to Juwan Howard and the whole Fab Five crew. That's going to be dope. When I look at college basketball, Javon Quinterly really, really stands out to me, a New Jersey guard. He's another example of why I preach the importance of a system, right? He was at Villanova last year under Jay Wright. Obviously, we all know who that is. He's a great coach. But I don't think Jay Wright utilized him the right way, or maybe he just wasn't best fit for his system. Right now we shift and we put him at Alabama. Javon Quinlany, he has a stronger confidence in him now. You can see the way that he facilitates the offense. He gets everybody in their spots, and he's so quick, he's so shifty, and he puts a lot of pressure on the defense in terms of making everybody adjust on the defensive end. So when I look at the way that he played against Tennessee a few days ago, I thought it was great to see, because the game before that, he had a breakout game. He scored 24 points. And he just put so much pressure, like I said, on the defense. And it's good to see him in this system now, because now we can see him fulfill his fullest potential.
It always feels good when you're playing within your comfort zone. And I think he's just been able to find that within that system. So I think that is good. And when you find that, your confidence level is always at an all-time high. And I think that's what we're seeing. He's just playing with a level of confidence and putting his talent with it.
And somebody else that really stood out to me in that game off of Tennessee is Eves Pons. Strong forward slash guard, and he had 5 blocks in his game. And all of these blocks that he had, Troy, were all game determining factors. It either turned into a 10-2 run or an 8-0 run. I mean, he's taking balls out the sand, literally just scooping them and throwing for the outlet pass. It was just amazing to see that defensive stability to him. You know what I mean? Because we always talk about players being able to play both sides of the ball. And it was great just to see, you know, a big man play straight up defense. And it was great to see the refs allow him to play defense and not, you know, get him called for any charge, any blocks, anything like that. So that was a pleasure to see as well, too. Chef Curry, Steph Curry, cooking in the pot. Well, he made some Rasta pasta. Mm. He made some jerk wings.
He made some filet mignon.
A little shrimp on top.
I want a twin lobster tails with butter on the side. That's what I saw Chef Curry make up the other night. I can't lie to you.
Let's start here first. 105 threes at practice?
I mean, he was letting us know it was coming. Just,
I mean, clearly, that was, now that I'm looking at it now, he's like, yo, it's on the way.
This is just a matter of, like, I'm not just about the hype. Like, I'm about this. Like, I showed y'all I had 105 in me. You heard what Steve Kerr said. He choked. He ain't go 106. You feel me? So I think he went out there and did what he had to do. And this was not against an Osari team at all. Like, we're talking about one of the best backcourts in the league. We talk about Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So, I mean, he let them have it. He was 50% from 3, 8 for 16. He was 18 for 31 from the field. He let them have it, man. He did what he was supposed to do. He letting us know that in spite of what the team is going through,
he's here.
I'm still top point guard in this league. You guys need to put a lot of respect. I know he gets lost in translation a little bit with guys like Kyrie, with guys like Dame. But Curry's still here. Let's not forget, man. That's a champion right there.
The thing that I have to say most, I could never, ever put Steph Curry outside of the best point guard situation, because he's a winner. They went to the finals 4 or 5 years in a row. They got 3 rings, 2 back-to-back. I think that it's great to see him in this element, because now he's stepping into a rhythm, right? We have to remember, he stopped playing ball back in March. They didn't make the bubble. It's different when you're in basketball shape, right? So I'm surprised he didn't go for 100. You know what I mean? Especially with the fact that he shoots so many threes. That past game, he shot 8 for 16. That's 50%. That's lights out. it's really good to see him back in his element, because Steph Curry is going to have to keep his game at this level for them to even have a shot at making it into the playoffs with, you know, Draymond Green and his health with what he's been struggling with. So this is great. And he put everybody on notice. And it's real crazy, because the last time Dame had his career high was on the Warriors as well. He has 61. So real recognized real when Dame just had to say hats off to him. He put me in the blender.
And that's what you do if you're a real one. Dame understands when you're a top player, when you're a top scorer in this league, you're going to have guys that have those nights. And it just so happened that he was on the other end. But as far as Steph Curry goes, he knows that he's going to have to keep it up on this level. You saw what he did last night, followed it up with a 30-point game and a big victory over the Sacramento Kings. So he's letting it be known that this is no fluke. I'm here. My game is still as strong as ever. I am, and I'll say it on wax, he is the best shooter of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout to Ray Allen. Big shout to Reggie Miller, Chris Mullin. All those guys are legends in their own respectful right.
But there's a new Stephen Curry. Now.
But Stephen Curry is the best shooter, hands down, of all time.
When we switch gears to Brooklyn, KD is going to be missing four games now due to COVID-19. And obviously he contracted the virus back in May. But for the next four, back in March, excuse me. But he'll be missing the next four games. And how would you say you've been liking KD as he's been transitioning back into getting a feel for the game so far this year?
Well, it doesn't look like he's missed a beat. He's been playing well. I think in the sixth game he's been back, he's averaging between 26 to 28 points a game. Mm-hmm. So obviously he hasn't missed a beat as far as his scoring ability, still shooting at a high level, getting to the basket, finishing strong. I know one thing that we do have to touch on is him and Kyrie missing, both having the opportunity to ice the game the other night, and both missing the opportunity. And as we know, Kyrie made it a point to say that he is alongside someone now, that if he cannot take that shot, he trusts someone else's to, which was Kevin Durant. And they both had the opportunity, they both missed, but it's still a long season. I don't want anyone to lose faith on the guys. But again, a lot of times when you talk early, you got to eat those words. And that was just an example of that.
Yeah. I mean, that could be Kyrie, you know, just hitting at something. But I mean, that could just be him just having confidence in KD. He might just feel the most comfortable playing with him now. I can't speak for him. But something I will say about Kevin Durant is there are times throughout the game where, to me, he doesn't fully look comfortable. And when I say comfortable, I mean in terms of his body, the way he's moving. Last game they played, but he had an in-and-out move that he did. It was the Wizards. They played the Wizards. He went in and out, cut to the basket, and elevated but missed the dunk. It was good to see him back and be able to move like that, but there are spurts throughout the game where he still looks a little uncomfortable. I'm not sure if that's the ACL at times where he, you know, might still be in a little bit of pain, but like you said, the fact that he's even averaging 28 points already is just, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you come off of injury of that sort, you're going to, in a way, sometimes be a little step slower or still trying to find yourself getting comfortable. And for him, he's just in that moment. And obviously, he's still going to be one of the best scorers. He's still rebounding also at a high level. But I think it's just going to take some time. And I think in these next four games that he has off, I think that he's going to be able to get his body in order and rest a little bit. These next four games are going to be tough. I think they have OKC. They have the Jazz tonight.
Okay.
So that's going to be a game. Rudy Gobert just got big money. So that's going to be a game they may have to come out and play strong in. They got Philadelphia playing well, 6-1. And then they got the Grizzlies in the OKC. So I think he just needs to take this time. Hopefully Kyrie put things on his back. And then after those four games, he'll be ready to rock again. And as you know, me and my good brother here, we've opening up a new segment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call this one the Rose Report, where I sprinkle in a little knowledge for you guys, some little keynotes to look out for. And I think today I want to take the time to acknowledge some teams that showed promise last year that didn't make it into the playoffs, but that we should be watching for this year. And I have to name off a few, starting with the Phoenix Suns. Mm. As we all know, they had the best record in the bubble, 8-0, did not make it into the playoffs, took this time in the offseason to obtain one of the best point guards that the game has seen with Chris Paul. And he's really opened up the floor down there in Phoenix, has helped Devin Booker take the ball out of his hands a little more, has really helped DeAndre Ayton blossom his game off the screen and roll and playing strong around the basket. So the Phoenix Suns, I want us to start looking out for them. than another team, the Atlanta Hawks. Like, I feel like when I watch the Atlanta Hawks, I feel like Meek Mill. I feel like they're my young bulls out there. You feel me? Like,
I
feel like
tell them Trey was there.
You know,
he's ready.
Like, Trey Young is playing at a high level. Tough loss last night. He had 31 points. Cam Reddish playing well, doing his thing. John Collins, he good for posters. Jared Allen, I don't want to say no names, but, you know, he's good for putting somebody on a poster. And I think that this is a team that can really show promise. I think that they're really playing at a high level. Clint Capella is now back healthy. He's really helped dominate things down low, help Trae Young in the pick and roll. So the Atlanta Hawks is another team I want people to watch out for. And lastly, the Memphis Grizzlies. I think if we could keep Ja Morant healthy, I think if Jaren Jackson could stay healthy, Michigan State guy, go green. If he can stay healthy and play at a high level around the basket, a tall guy who can also stretch the floor and knock down shots from the perimeter. Dylan Brooks really shown himself to be a scorer, great shooter, efficient. And then I got to give another shout out to the Green, because, you know, Michigan State love to sprinkle some love in the NBA. Big fella Xavier Tillman just signed with the Memphis Grizzlies, just got drafted by those guys. So the Memphis Grizzlies is another team I think that we should be looking out for going into this year, who could possibly be playoff contending teams. So watch out for that. This is the Rose Report. Pay attention, man.
Yeah, I like the Rose Report. It gives us a different energy, and we get to see you flourish. And Troy, just to piggyback what you were saying, I'm not a fan of the New York Knicks at all. If anybody knows, I'm from New York, but I think the Knicks are trash. Not currently, but have been in the past. But what I will say, these are facts. This is the best start that they've had since the 2012-2013 season within a 7-game start, right? Austin Rivers looks good. Julius Randle had 28 points and 17 rebounds. And they have a deep young roster. They have Kevin Knox that hit a little buzzer beater at the end of the third. They got Obi Toppin. They have RJ Barrett. And what I will say is the Knicks look good. And it doesn't even hurt me to say that. They do bad business, but I just think the one weakness they have right now is they have too many small forwards. Obi Toppin, RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Kevin Knox. I feel like it's a little excessive, and that's going to, you know, cut off some people's playing time. And Dennis Smith Jr., can this man stay healthy? He's a great talent. We just need to see him do better. Now, I just want to intro another one of my good brothers, Zach Barrett. Huge sneakerhead in the game. We went to school by for University in South Carolina. Follow his sneaker page, you know, QRazy5 and Voir Sneakers on Instagram. But he's a huge, huge New York Knicks fan. And I just want you to tell T Rose and I, man, how you feeling? Have the Knicks got some more tape?
Well, it's been a heavy heart for a lot of years, bro.
Nah, I hear that.
A lot of years, bro. It's not easy being a Knicks fan at all.
Yeah, talk about
or
that.
Like New York sports as a whole right now, trash.
Go Giants. Best,
I mean, we had a chance. The Giants was bad, but we had a chance to get to the playoffs. But it was dependent on another team winning or losing. You know what I'm saying? And you never want to get to the playoffs that way, because you want to end up getting there on your own accord, not dependent on another team to win or lose to get you in there. But the Knicks.
Back to your Knicks, man.
Listen, I don't know if it's the best start since 2012.
It's a stat, bro. I didn't make it up. Within 7 games. Just within 7 games.
So within the first 7 games.
Yeah, since like 2012. That. Yeah.
I mean, but honestly, bro, it's the young core that they got now. And Julius Randle, he's on one, bro.
Yeah,
everybody's been talking about trade him. But I don't know. He had some of that Michael Jordan secret stuff before he started this year, bro.
Whoa. They would never drink from the same fountain, okay? They would never.
Bro, hold on.
Everybody stop. Please
I'm
stop.
From Space Jam, bro.
No, I got you. But so, I agree. I agree, though. I think Julius has been playing at an all-time high. I was telling Rob that. I think he's really tightened up his game since his days in Los Angeles. He used to be a little loose with the ball, a little out of control, but I really feel like he's really gravitated and found his game. And Imani Quickly from Kentucky, he's getting some buckets, too.
He was just talking about him the other day.
Yeah, we got to pay attention to these young cats out here because they go under the radar when they're playing for teams that obviously aren't the best, but he definitely should be acknowledged as someone who's helping the squad.
But quickly, I think he had like, I think he had 8 or 10 16. Points in 8 minutes when he,
yeah, not, but
in the first 8 minutes, he had 8 or 10 right. points. So like coming off the bench, he really does pretty good, but I feel like he should start, they should bring Miles Powell up from the G League.
Word, I don't know why they dropped him down. Like, I don't even understand that.
I don't know, man. He was a beast in Seton Hall.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So
he was solid. Big East Player of the Year. He did his thing.
So let me ask you a question. You're a true New York Knicks fan. So I mean, you've seen the days back in the late '90s, early 2000s with guys like Larry Johnson, Allen Houston, like that whole squad, Charles Ward. So with the way that things are starting so far with the Knicks and the development, could you possibly at some point, because obviously the Knicks never won back then, so I don't want to get that misconstrued.
Look at his face.
But do you think with the squad that you guys have now, at some point they can find themselves in the playoffs, especially in the East? The East is not a strong conference.
In the playoffs? Yeah.
This year? So, but
we say that every year. With the
and
Knicks,
y'all run out of tape.
Damn near. you need to relax. But this year, I feel like it's different. It's different feeling. Like, I saw Austin Rivers actually post like a long post, and I was kind of surprised from him, like, you know, putting his whole heart out there and saying, like, you know, we're building, trust us, being new to the team, not even 3 days playing. Like, he didn't even play 3 days, or I think he played one game when he made that post. But I respected him for that, you know, for like, you know, saying like, yo, we're a young team, we're building, we're trying to get there. Like, you know, we're not trying to tank. Mm-hmm. And obviously Tom Thibodeau, mm-hmm. he's bringing an intensity to that team like that I've never seen
time, huh?
In a long time since Mike Woodson, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the defense is definitely dead. Sometimes they get a little sloppy, missing on switches, but I really feel like this team, if they could get like a free agent, bro.
They need one more veteran piece. Like a veteran piece.
It might be all right. Like, you know, they could possibly make the playoffs this year. The way they've been playing, every game that I've watched them play this year, because I watched every game this year, is a close game. Very close mm-hmm. games. And they played very well. Like, it's just, they get sloppy towards the end, mm-hmm. fourth quarter. Like, they came back, I think, I forgot who they were playing, but they came back from 20-1. I forgot what game it was. Mm. But I don't know, man.
I'll say this, though, when I look at the Knicks, they're kind of like the Charlotte Hornets in a way. They're deep and they're young and they have that versatility, right? They just have to put the pieces together. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously they don't have a point guard like LaMelo Ball, but they still have that young core, right? So when I say that, I think that the Knicks, like you're saying, they need that veteran piece possibly to just bring everything together. And going off of Austin Rivers, I think that this is a great situation for him because he brings that experience to the team and you can tell that he's buying in. It's funny you bring him up because I went through his Instagram last night and his first, I would say, 4 to 5 posts, he kept using the word build. And building in every single post, and he's just showing like he's committed, he's all in. And I think it's great too that he chose not to go with Philly and go to New York instead, and his pops has some insight on that, like, this isn't the best position for you, go somewhere else and build your own. So Austin Rivers is going to be a huge part of that as long as he buys in alongside Julius Randle. So I'm with you on that, bro.
And I think his best year was under his pops as well, when he played on the Clippers.
Was it?
Clippers.
Well, you got to think, playing with his father, you're going to get a lot of opportunities that you usually don't get with other squads. So I think that really was able to open up his game because he was in New Orleans before the Clippers.
Right.
And when you're playing behind, obviously, I think at that time it was Chris Paul. Chris Paul moved on, went there. Obviously, that was someone he was getting trained under or worked under. Went to the Clippers, had his father. So it worked out for him. But I think the Knicks is going to be a place for him to grow individually. And with him, you got to really look at it. He's now one of the older guys on the team. So some of that veteran leadership that mm-hmm. they need, he's going to have to fill
that. He's going to bring that. Yeah. Zach, I definitely appreciate you for stopping in, brother. Stay tuned. Hope y'all
for it. Y'all 4-3, you know, take a deep breath, take your time, all in,
and enjoy it. Left real quick.
It could go left real quick, but it's only a 72-game season, so we're working in y'all favor so far. So if y'all can keep it up, man. Y'all can slide in there.
Slide in, just grab the A spot. Amen. No pressure.
Ain't no team, honestly, bro. The best time I'm watching the Knicks was when we was in college, bro. And you know that. When Melo won the team, bro.
Yeah, when like, they were going back and forth with the Celtics. Team
in the NBA with Marcus Camby, Tyson Chandler.
Mm. That's when they had Shump.
That was a good team.
That's when Shump had the flat top. Mm-hmm. Nah,
that was a good team. I loved watching that team.
But I can't talk much, man. You know, my Pistons right now.
Trash. You know, they, oh, my God. Too.
So I understand your pain. Hey, yo, I feel you, man. I understand.
Now, Killian Hayes need a new hip.
Look,
he did the slip and slide last night.
I have a lot of respect for Blake Griffin, but he's robbing the Pistons blind.
We're not really? Even gonna talk about what Jason Tatum did to him. I call game.
Look, man, he's,
I don't know, bro. I like Blake. He definitely changed his game a lot.
Blake is trash, bro.
What, bro? You're tripping.
He's washed up.
And I'm saying this from a Detroit Pistons fan. I'm really not
how he used to be dunking on everybody. Right, bro.
That was his game.
He changed his game. Look at his 3-point percentage now.
Yeah, it's like 20%.
I feel like a lot of times we like players based on their name. Right. But I feel like you're in New York Knicks. You're not watching the Detroit Pistons. I know you're not watching the Detroit Pistons.
I watch basketball.
No, he watches every game, bro. He watches it.
First of all, listen. Blake Griffin fell the other night. Yeah. Jason Tatum hit a game.
What happened?
Walk us
through that last play. Can you do that for
me? Last night, he didn't even want to play. He said, I'm going to just rest. No, wait, how are you resting after getting a game-winning shot on you?
Walk us through that last play with Jason Tatum when he fell. Walk me through that. Don't want to talk about it? Hello?
Jason. He has it at the top of the key.
Yes.
Top of the key.
Goes left. And which way does Blake Griffin go?
Blake got a flat tire. He got a flat tire, bro. Chill.
And what happened? Dude. What we call?
Man.
Bang! Nah, man. RIP to Detroit Pistons. Shout out to the Knicks. Zach, we appreciate you.
Don't do that, bro.
I'm just calling facts. We got to give the Knicks their flowers, and Detroit don't need no flowers. So, Zach, we appreciate you coming in, bro, and stay tuned, bro. We appreciate you.
Shout out Detroit, man.
No disrespect, man. Shout out Detroit.
This is our favorite segment. Tell me what's on your mind. I have a lot on my mind. Troy has a lot on his what? Mind. And we're back here again. When we think about Ryan Garcia, the first word that comes to my mind is tenacity. I just want to walk y'all through this real quick. He did knock down Luke Campbell, but in the second round, Luke Campbell baited him with the right and dropped him with the left. Amazing knockdown. This is the first time Ryan Garcia has been knocked down in his career so far. And I think this is good because it's building him up for that next match that we hope we're going to see in Javonte Davis and Ryan Garcia. But we'll get to that in a second. Then when we get to the fifth round, you could tell that Ryan Garcia was really starting to gain his momentum. He's tagging up Luke Campbell left and right, to the point where he's literally, Campbell is saved by the bell. Then we get to Showtime in the seventh round, and Ryan Garcia hits him with that left gut check to the ribs, and it's game time. It's current. That's it. So huge shout out to Ryan Garcia. Can't wait to see what he does. I like this little clickbait that he's doing with Javonte Davis. But Troy, tell me what you saw in that fight.
Look, man. There's no way you could pay me any amount of money to take a hit from Ryan Garcia. No chance.
He got that body challenge.
Listen, like, you know your punches come with so much power. You end the fight on a body shot?
Yeah. He hits hard, bro. I can't even knock it.
So, in that fight, I just saw someone who, one, not only can give a punch, but can take one.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's all I need to see. If you have heart in that sport, along with what you're able to produce by being able to put your hands on another man and being able to defend yourself too,
don't go far.
I'm waiting for him and Javonte Davis.
I'm waiting for Javonte Davis.
Whatever bet needs to be placed, whatever room needs to be set up so we can watch this, I need to see it. This is must see TV.
You have to tell me right now. I don't even need a
prediction. Javonte Davis.
Okay, say no more.
Javonte Davis.
Yes. Yes.
Ryan Garcia is a dog.
But Javonte's just a beast.
Hungry.
But Ryan Garcia does hit hard, though. I don't know. That's going to be a really good fight. There's no way I miss that. Wherever I'm at, we got to fly out. We got to watch it together.
I'll say this. That hit that Ryan Garcia took.
Could Javonte Davis take that?
He's not getting up if Javonte Davis land one like that. I'm going to let that be known now.
Oh.
If Javonte Davis lands a hit like the way that. Luke Campbell landed one, it's lights out. So that is where Ryan Garcia is gonna have to step his game up at. Cause you're going up against someone who hit way harder, who's stronger, who can take a hit, who's gonna be looser, who can defend. He got his work cut out for him.
Javonte, I would say, can we say that Javonte could take hits though? Because I feel it. Like Garcia, we could say that we see now he can take it.
I think it wasn't Javonte Davis. Wasn't Javonte Davis. That's no shade to Luke Campbell, but it wasn't Javonte Davis.
Nah, that's respect. That's real, though. That's real. All right, now when we switch gears to the Power episode finale, Ghost Power Book 2, they brought our cousin Tommy back. Mary J. Blige showed a little thugger in her.
Boy!
Tariq turned his savage up in the courtroom in his burgundy double-breasted suit. I love the episode, man. I think that the further we get down the line with Power Book 2, it starts off so slow.
Yeah, it does.
It starts off so slow to the point where this finale was the bar of what Power used to be.
It was almost overwhelming.
Yeah. And even so much where I just wanted Ghost to come out the grave and just be a part of the episode so bad. That's just me personally. But yeah, I really think it was so amazing to see Tommy's entrance into the episode, the way he shot Mary J. Blige, or AKA Monet's soldier down. And then when we saw the back of the Mustang, I think everybody's face looked the same.
You knew what it was.
We knew what time it was. And it was just good to see Tommy come back. I know you said it was a little forced. I'll let you expand on that. I love the overall episode. Can't wait to see what Power Book 3 with Kanan does. And yeah, it was overall, I give it an 8.5. I was pleased for the most part.
It was a lot of action. Like you said, it started off slow. You know, we really got into a lot of gunplay, a lot of violence, a lot of hardship. But I think one thing I've learned watching Power is don't be a Jabari. Don't be a Jabari.
Talk to them about that.
It
was his time.
Don't be a Jabari. I'll let y'all look up whatever that means, but don't be a Jabari.
Okay? Please don't.
Tommy, I did tell you that I felt it was a little forced.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's been in hiatus forever, how long? But I don't know. I feel like his time has come. Like, if you want to be gone in the wind, be gone in the wind, bro. Like, I think it's weird that you pop up when now you're being accused of something when you've been gone for so long. And I get you trying to come back. You're trying to get your revenge, but just stay gone, man. Just stay gone, you know? And then you play a little fake death in the fire and then pop up at the grave.
I knew there was no way. If he was dead right there in that fire, I wasn't watching Power no more.
He was almost moving like sacks, man. Like everybody, like we're trying to sit at the grave. You in here trying to off people. Like, it was just too much for me. But
you didn't give Monet her flowers though. Let's talk about how she shot Rico. Did you see that coming?
I mean, What do you expect?
I mean, I expected her to do that, but I didn't know we were starting an episode like that.
You cut me off. You send them boys.
Mm.
You hit my son.
Mm-hmm.
You leave me no
choice.
There's
only one thing left, yeah.
You leave me no choice. So, I mean, she's doing what a protector do. And obviously, she's holding it down. She's the queen of that fort. So, I mean, I expect nothing less from her, but I'm definitely excited to see what's going to happen with the Kanan story. I really wish we had a little bit more left in the Power Ghost episodes. I wish we had a little bit more, but I'm looking forward to seeing what the summer's going to bring with the Rays and Kanan.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to see what Power is going to do. But as usual, we appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Once again, happy new year to everybody. It's not about being a new year, new you. It's about being consistent, guys. And we appreciate y'all for tuning in. As always, continue to grind. And you know, as T-Rose say, continue to be believers, man.
Thank you. Continue to believe. Continue to support. And get well soon, Jeannie Rose. Appreciate y'all.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.